Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey everyone, before we dive in, a quick update about the schedule. I started Tales of the Resistance back in February when we put another show I hosted on hiatus because I was getting burned out on true crime. But now I'm feeling burned out on politics, and I decided we should let our subscribers decide what they wanted most from us. The former show, called The Catalyst, bi-weekly, or an alternating bi-weekly schedule of Tales and The Catalyst. That last option went out, so that's what we're going to do. Every 2 weeks, you'll get a new episode alternating between the two shows. One release cycle, it'll be Tales of the Resistance, the next, it'll be The Catalyst. That means Tales episodes are now monthly instead of weekly, but you'll still get something fresh from me every other weekend. And hopefully, I'll get less burned out on either subject because I can better pace them. With that out of the way, let's get into this month's Tales of the Resistance. First up, in the wake of the horrific Charlie Kirk killing, the slightest mention of which has gotten multiple media and academic figures fired from their jobs at places like The Washington Post, MSNBC, and Middle Tennessee State University, to name a few, some people are actually trying to snuff out the flames of division rather than flame them. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is among them.
This is a moment when Americans must come together and say clearly that threats and political violence are not the answer.
Pritzker, speaking to reporters September 15th, had to point out, unfortunately, that this is not the message of unity being sent by everyone.
People on the left are much likelier to defend and celebrate political violence. This is not a both sides problem.
Our universities, in many cases, have become incubators for extremism. They become the equivalent of madrasas for jihadism.
For years, those on the radical left have compared wonderful Americans like Charlie to Nazis and the world's worst mass murderers and criminals. This kind of rhetoric is directly responsible for the terrorism that we're seeing in our country today. And it must stop right now.
I can't find much hopeful to report in the aftermath of any kind of political violence. As my partner Scott recently said, no matter who's behind it or what evil is supposedly targeted, no good comes from violence of this sort ever. But I do appreciate, however, that some people at the moment are calling on our leaders to do better.
Every president in my lifetime has done this in the wake of political violence. They take action for positive change. They bring people together. They make Americans feel safe. They let them know violence is never the answer. This is a watershed moment in our country. We can choose to stay silent and live in fear of more political violence, or we can choose to be loud for peace, for compassion, and for an America where people settle their political differences through free speech and at the ballot box. Let's be those people.
Civil rights groups have gone to court to challenge a new wave of Trump administration actions they say are designed to muzzle political opponents. Lawsuits filed this month argue that expanded IRS scrutiny of nonprofits, heightened reporting rules for labor unions, and cuts to federal grants for advocacy groups violate the First Amendment and amount to political targeting. At the same time, Democratic-led states are drafting measures to shield local organizations from federal penalties, while members of Congress have introduced legislation meant to blunt the impact of what's being called the Super Save Act. That proposal, backed by Republican lawmakers, would clamp down on voter registration groups and third-party ballot collection. Cleta Mitchell, longtime GOP lawyer turned election denial strategist, told a crowd earlier this month that the law is necessary to keep millions and millions of non-citizens from voting in U.S. elections.
They're corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. They want to corrupt our elections. They have done that, and we are not going to put up with it anymore. We're done with it.
Critics say the goal isn't to ensure honest elections, but rather to suppress Democratic-leaning turnout. The broader effort was detailed in a September 14th report from Democracy Docket, which noted the escalation as part of the administration's strategy of using federal power against left-leaning institutions. Courts will now decide how far the government can go in selectively enforcing rules against one side of the political spectrum. If you don't know Democracy Docket, by the way, it was founded in 2020 by election lawyer Mark Elias. It tracks litigation and legislation affecting democracy and voting access. Its free email updates at democracydocket.com provide regular alerts on cases like these. Just saying. Over the past 2 weeks, Trump's agenda has hit a wall of resistance from multiple institutions, in the courts, in academia, in public schools, and even in houses of worship. On September 10th, a federal judge sided with New York Attorney General Letitia James and 20 other state attorneys general in blocking a Trump administration reinterpretation of a 1996 welfare law. The rule would have forced states to check immigration status before allowing families access to programs like Head Start, family planning, food banks, and health clinics. The injunction means those services remain available while the case proceeds. Just a week earlier, on September 3rd, a federal court in Boston ruled that the administration acted unlawfully when it froze more than $2 billion in federal research grants to Harvard University. The judge wrote that the freeze violated both constitutional protections and administrative procedure, restoring funds for ongoing projects in medicine, climate science, and other fields. Meanwhile, litigation has also slowed Trump's efforts to reshape K-12 education. Judges have blocked attempts to tie federal funding to so-called patriotic curriculum mandates and to punish schools that protect LGBTQ+ students. Teachers' unions and state attorneys general are coordinating those legal fights, arguing that the federal government cannot impose ideology at the expense of students' rights. Oh, and teachers' unions are also suing the Trump administration on another matter entirely. They're saying that arrests near schools and churches traumatize children and disrupt education. Those are the ICE arrests that we've been talking about so much. From a report by AURN News.
The complaint cites incidents where armed agents detain parents in school parking lots and near churches, forcing campuses into lockdowns and leaving students fearful. Educators report declining attendance, increased anxiety, and parents avoiding school services.
Outside the courtroom, communities are also responding. Uplift Action, a coalition of faith-based groups, reported this month on congregations opening their doors for health clinics, stocking supplies, and publicly affirming the dignity of transgender people and reproductive freedom, a direct counter to the administration's efforts to curtail healthcare access. Taken together, these fights show that the pushback isn't limited to one arena. Universities, courts, schools, and congregations are all testing how far Trump can go and drawing their own lines. The echoes of protests have barely quieted in Chicago, where Trump sent the National Guard under the guise of cracking down on crime. Just a quick snippet from one of those protests. Trump has a new Democratic-led city in mind for the same treatment, Memphis, Tennessee. Trump said on Fox News that Bluff City is his next target to deploy the National Guard because crime is out of control. And he claimed that Mayor Paul Young is actually happy about the feds coming to town. Young said otherwise.
I want to be clear, I did not ask for the National Guard, and I don't think it's the way to drive down crime.
Trump announced his intention on Fox News, saying that some CEO told him that Memphis should be his next focus because, well...
He said, when I walk one block to my hotel, they won't allow me to do it. They put me in an armored vehicle with bulletproof glass to take me one block. He said, it's so terrible.
Can't argue with that data-driven reasoning. Young has less room to resist than other targeted cities so far have had, because Tennessee's governor is a Republican and is on board with Trump's plans. The authority to call the National Guard lies with governors and, in certain circumstances, the president. So Young said the decision has been made for him. All he can do is work alongside the feds in hopes of keeping the disruption to a minimum for Memphis residents. Finally, let's end on some music again. In Washington, D.C., another National Guard siege city, one man filmed guardsmen patrolling the streets while he followed them, playing a familiar tune. That's the Imperial March from Star Wars. It's hilarious to watch. I mean, to me, anyway, not so much to the soldiers. One of them peeled off and threatened to call the police on the filmmaker, but as far as I could find, no arrests have been made. This has been Tales of the Resistance, a monthly production from Grab Bag Collab. You can support us directly at www.grabbagcollab.com. The show is made by me, Amber Hunt, and producer Amanda Rossman.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.